Okay, this is our last take. If you don't get it right this time, I'm going to pull the plug on the whole show and go back to training helper monkeys for a living. 3, 2, 1, cue music.
Welcome to episode number 1 of Slacker Astronomy, a podcast about astronomy and just about anything else that floats over our heads.
Every week or so, we will bring you a summary of recent news events from the realm of astronomy. And during slow news weeks, we'll prank call astrologers.
This week's show is about a new discovery involving black holes, one of the sexiest objects in astronomy. Without black holes and their imaginary white hole cousins, many a science fiction writer would be without a job.
Also, many of the most powerful, exciting, and exotic phenomena in the universe wouldn't occur. Objects such as hypernova, gamma ray bursts, and quasars all owe their existence to black holes.
One of the most interesting effects caused by some black holes and other objects is gravitational lensing. With this effect, the gravity of a black hole acts like a giant lens, focusing light from the universe beyond.
Say you're looking at something very, very far away.
Like a Democrat winning an election?
Not that far. Like something 5 billion light years away. Now imagine a supermassive black hole is between that object and us. The light from that object would normally spread out in all directions, going to visit all the many corners of the universe. But in some cases, the gravitational pull from some big old object like a black hole may force that light to bend toward us, rather than going where it would normally go.
This strong-armed light is modified in various ways as its path is bent. Sometimes it is spread out into a beautiful arc. Other times, the object appears cloned in space, so we see 4 identical images in a diamond pattern, instead of just one. We have pictures and diagrams of this in our show notes on our site.
Any object with a lot of mass can cause gravitational lensing. In fact, some objects, like dark matter and very dim stars, can only be detected when they are gravitationally lensed.
Our sun can act as a gravitational lens. This was a lucky thing for Einstein, whose theory of general relativity predicted gravitational lenses. During a 1919 solar eclipse, Eddington observed our sun gravitationally lens background stars.
So you should just tell anyone who doubts relativity to just go stare at the sun to see relativity in action.
Although you may want to tell them to use safety glasses.
Or not.
Or not. The former head of NASA, Dan Golden, even talked about creating a space telescope that uses the sun as its lens.
A camera would be flown way out of our solar system, 10 times further out than Pluto, and 500 times further out from the sun than the Earth. At that distance, the sun would appear as bright as other nearby stars, but it would act as a gravitational lens for objects behind it.
But that is a truly high-concept proposal that we likely won't see in our lifetime, but maybe in Dick Clark's lifetime.
Astronomers have known about gravitational lensing for a while, and lenses to make many pretty pictures to sell as posters. They have to pay for their telescopes somehow.
They should use credit cards like the rest of us.
You can't run up $200 million on a credit card.
Tell my ex-husband that.
Wait, you mean you left him alive?
Only if you consider a vegetative state living.
Hey guys, back to the show.
Okay, slave driver. I mean, Aaron.
That's Mr. Slave Driver to you.
Better than my liege as it was last week.
I'm feeling charitable. Now back to work.
Okay, well, I figured out how to cut this show short. Do you want to know what a black hole is? Just look inside Aaron's heart.
Your heart's an empty hole.
Since it seems I'm the only professional here, I'll get the show rolling again. Where were we? Oh yeah, black holes and gravitational lensing. So astronomers have known about gravitational lensing for a while and have been looking for them and for ways to use them when doing studies of distant objects.
But this weekend, some mathematicians announced that black holes can throw some curveballs almost as well as Randy Johnson.
It began 4 years ago when physicists discovered that some materials negatively refract light. Imagine looking at a pencil in a glass of tap water.
In Boston water, of course, you wouldn't be able to see the pencil.
Okay, imagine using bottled water instead. The pencil looks like it's broken at the waterline. The bottom part of the pencil does not line up with the top. This is refraction at work. In negative refraction, the submerged part of the pencil may look like it's pointing at a different angle, maybe even sideways.
This month, Dr. Aklesh Latake at Penn State and Tom G. McKay at the University of Edinburgh published a paper in the New Journal of Physics predicting that spinning supermassive black holes can do the same thing to light that passes at a certain angle.
So now, not only do we have black holes bending light toward us, they can now also bounce light away from them. Now, what happens if the bounced light of a distant quasar reaches the Earth?
we see it as a normal quasar.
So then, what about the quasars we see in the sky? How can we tell which ones are really there and which ones just look like they are there because they have been bounced?
Exactly. This means that when astronomers look at objects that are very far away, they now have to somehow take into consideration that they may be looking at a reflection and not the real deal.
This could be a big deal because quasars are fundamental distance markers. Our knowledge of them affects many key areas of astronomy. So now the theorists will have to find a way to detect if a distant light source, such as a quasar, has been affected by an intervening black hole or not. Then the observational astronomers will have to look for the effect.
But there is some debate about just how significant this may be. The universe is huge and contains many black holes. At one point in the very distant future, there will be nothing left but black holes, neutron stars, and cold black white dwarfs. But the black holes we're worried about have to be supermassive, spinning, and just happen to be in the right position to bounce the light off that object to us. They also can't be associated with a lot of other matter that might distort the light from the background object.
Some scientists think this will probably never be positively detected by us, while others, including the authors of the paper, think that so many supermassive black holes exist that we'll never be able to see the positions of things at the earliest days of the universe, because eventually everything gets its light bounced by a black hole. This means we can't trust our measurements of the position of anything that is far away.
The key will be to find some sort of a telltale signature in the way an object looks if it has been bounced by a black hole. Surely there has to be some effect on its spectra or something. Slacker Astronomy will keep an eye on the papers and give you updates as they come along.
For a price, of course. This isn't a free service.
It's not? Then we can no longer claim that people get what they pay for.
What we ask is that you let your friends know about this show. If you like it, that is.
Why did you have to go and say that? Now no one will say anything to anyone.
Honestly, though, we have been overwhelmed by the response we have received from all you kind folks out in Cyberland. The letters you have sent us have really meant a lot. Thank you.
Although we sometimes wonder if they're being sent to the wrong show. I mean, they're just too darn nice.
The best way we can make this show a success is through positive word of mouth. So if you like it, mention it on your blog, to your friends, on an email list, anywhere. We would really appreciate it.
You'll be doing a good deed for Boston, too. Recording this show keeps us off the streets for one night a week, much to the rejoicing of every singles dive bar in town.
You know, guys, I'm sorry I've been cranky and a jerk this week. But it's just that when writing about black holes, I get so depressed. I think of what Nietzsche said. Take care not to become a monster, too, for if you stare long enough into the abyss stares also into you. I think black holes are just having an effect on me. But now that the show is over, I just wanted to say to both of you, I love you guys.
No, you can't have our Bud Light.
This is Travis Searle.
Pamela Gay.
And Aaron Price, the Imperial Slacker Astronomy Slave Driver.
Thanks for listening. And remember, we want your spam.
Clear skies and clear bandwidth. This has been the first official episode of Slacker Astronomy, a volunteer collaboration for you, for fun, for the voices in our heads.